live on ESPN 106.7. You are on the line. Live. Live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. This is On the Line, show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. And man, is this a little bit of a different feeling than usual here? Got out of the normal rhythm because...
What do you mean by that?
Yes, I'm here, but so is this man, Mr. Jacob Goins, here in the studio. He's actually here today.
I am, believe it or not. I am here.
Actually... Yes. Here today,
and
he can make the same joke for me tomorrow. But no, first time I've done an intro. Actually, no, I take that back. There's been a couple of times when you've made coffee or whatever, and you've run in at like 2:01:55
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, I'm the king of making tea at 1:58. It's like, I have time, and then yeah, I realize I don't have time.
Microwave it, then you think you still have another minute and a half. You don't. So I have given the intro a couple of times, but I don't know if I've ever given it truly sitting here next to you. And so a bit of an interesting feeling, but regardless, happy Tuesday.
Yes.
Hope everybody's doing well on this Tuesday afternoon. Sir, I know you are doing quite well, relatively stressed, but this might be the most white mom saying ever, but you know, you're too blessed to be stressed. And so yes, what a great problem to have that. Yes, you still are dealing with a little bit of stress. We'll dive into, man, some of what you dealt with and got to deal with and got to call yesterday, but happy Tuesday.
I mean, it's a survive and advance type of Tuesday. That's what Auburn High Baseball did last night, man. What a crazy first two games. I don't think I've called two games back-to-back more intense with more dramatic finishes than what I had last night at Troy.
Is that not, despite the last outs or the last innings, what feels like every time? I mean, that was the definition of baseball.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
there, three runs in the first for either team in game one, and then just straight goose eggs to where you then go to extras.
Ugh.
And then you know that in game two it's going to be a higher scoring game. You thought that it may not have been, and man, staring in the face of elimination and your season being done, Auburn High School and Coach Tommy Carter put up his best Keith Etheridge and put,
yep,
his arms up like this.
Yep.
Great radio. I'm giving the touchdown signal.
Yeah.
Put up seven in the home half of the sixth inning. And I mean, holy cow, what a moment, what a series it's been. And man, you feel like you don't necessarily have a confidence one way or the other leaning towards either team, because both teams know, man, we were an out or two away from being swept. Both teams,
yep,
feel that way. And yep, both teams, man, we had chances in game one. We had a plethora of chances in game two, whether that's hitting, whether that's in the field. And so, man, game three is the definition of, yeah, we're going to toss it up and see what we got.
Yeah, Enterprise wins game one on a walk-off throwing error by Auburn, where bases are loaded, one down. Our closer, Ryan Donaldson, came in, got a line out to the shortstop for the second out.
After
a strikeout. He came in, bases loaded, nobody out. Bases loaded, nobody out.
First off, I don't know if I've played a lot of baseball. In my day, I've played a lot of baseball.
Back in my day,
I don't know that I've ever seen back-to-back balks.
Yeah,
without a pitch being thrown in between.
Yeah, got some word on what that was supposed to be. I'll tell you off air. But that was very unfortunate for Auburn. And so Ryan Donaldson comes in, Auburn High's closer, bases loaded, nobody out, got a strikeout, then a line out to the shortstop. He then turns to throw to second to double him up, and unfortunately spiked the throw. It got into right field, and the runner from third came in to score. So
Coach Carter said that it ricocheted off the base.
He said it ricocheted off the base.
Is that a little bit of a generous?
I don't know. I don't think it was a great throw, unfortunately, which doesn't happen often from Auburn High's shortstop.
Sure.
But a walk-off throwing error for Enterprise and extra innings in game one. And you said at Auburn down by five, heading into the bottom of the sixth inning. And I'll be honest, I was just preparing for the game to be that. I mean, Enterprise had dominated. Auburn had one good inning in that whole game. They had gone nine straight scoreless. Then they scored three, and then they went two or three more scoreless after that. And
with Enterprise responding just about every time.
Every time. Yeah, every time. 8-3, bottom of the sixth inning. Yeah, and Auburn High put up seven in the bottom of the sixth inning in just crazy ways, with walks and hit by pitches and liners off the second baseman and throwing errors it all just piled on, which is how baseball works, right? Where one mistake turns into two and three and then four. And I said it on the air multiple times. I said, don't give a desperate team life.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Enterprise did. Auburn capitalized. They win 10-8. And here we go. Game three tonight at Troy. We were supposed to be at Enterprise this whole series, but the weather has done some damage to their field, and unless you want to put your goggles and flippers on, we're not playing at Enterprise. So we're playing back at Troy tonight. Super
That's
pumped
awesome.
There in Riddle Pace Field. Beautiful campus, beautiful facility. So, yeah, winner take all. Game three, 7A quarterfinals. Auburn High, Enterprise baseball tonight, 6 o'clock, 96.3 W Lee.
It's one of those moments where, for Auburn High, and we are going to talk a lot of Auburn baseball here coming up in just a few moments, but you talk about giving a desperate team life. I mean, you feel like at that point in the sixth inning, and then all of today, you feel like you're playing with house money,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you feel like it's a pop-up to end the game, and the first baseman and the catcher don't communicate, and it falls in foul ground. All of a sudden, you walk back to the plate 2-2, and it's like, okay, well, I should already be out. I should be done. Our season should be done. But the ability to respond, and it goes to show that game in particular, because Enterprise used their game one and game two, which a lot of teams are beginning to do more so on the road side of things, but a lot of the home teams as well, goes to show the importance of getting to the bullpen, regardless of the age, regardless of the classification, regardless of the level. Man, we talk so much about it on Friday nights for Auburn University baseball of, man, if you can get to the bullpen in game one or early in the series, it just opens things up. And the fact of basically getting shut down, and then they finally go to the pen after what, back-to-back walks, and it was like, man, okay, sure, we'll take our glimpse of hope, maybe there's something doing. And then, man, the ability to stack runs, and you mentioned it, when a good team gives you four outs in an inning, they make you pay, and Auburn did that. And so again, we'll be able to plug that a little bit more as we go. I know you're only here for the first 30 minutes before you get on the road, man. That game time just continues to get pushed back
back.
It was a 4 o'clock, then a 5 o'clock, and now confirmed 6 o'clock at Troy. And so again, we'll be able to dive into a little bit more of that as we go along. But man, Tuesday is our traditional baseball day in terms of breaking down the previous series, and I don't know if there's a more fun conversation than being able to talk about, yes, a series win for the Auburn Tigers, but my goodness, does it feel a whole lot better when you're able to do it on somebody else's ground, in somebody else's place, and for Bub Terrell, making it a homecoming of not only returning to the state, but of all of his favorite food as well. I'm sure you've seen the videos of him and pitching changes, and then of him walking out with plates and plates of food afterwards. We talked about that yesterday. Tripp and I did a little bit in terms of how a good buddy Trip from On the Line, ESPN 106.7, may or may not be sitting right here, but he talked about how Mississippi State's polarized by it, and Auburn fans are,
Auburn
fans are like, man, this goes to show why Auburn and State have so many comparisons, for better or for worse, in terms of the people, it's like, man, Mississippi State knows how to do baseball. They know what hospitality is. And then Mississippi State's over here, half the crowd is like, this is awesome, I'm so glad to see that Bubba's back. And the other half is like, this is why we're losing. This is why we suck. Our mentality is weak.
Yeah. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what'd you want them to do? Throw the food away?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you've got a college kid that's like, dude, I'll take it. Like,
dude, I'm from 30 minutes down the road. Can I please have some pork in? Please.
Yeah.
Give
come
me
on,
some,
man.
Brother, it's 13-2.
Yeah.
What more do you want?
Like, give the guy some food, man. He earned it.
Let the man eat. Let the big dog eat.
Let the big
That's what
dog
you say to your driver
eat.
All the time, right?
Yeah, and it says, cool, watch this, and it goes right.
Now watch this drive.
Now watch this drive, and danger,
oh,
four right.
But what a weekend it was for Butch Thompson and this Auburn staff. And I say staff because, my goodness, the ability in games two and three. And we're going to dive a little bit more into game two here in just a few moments. But I want to start talking about more so game three than game two, because another rubber match, another opportunity for this Auburn team to go out and just show what they have and show the depth. And I think depth is kind of the word that is in favor of Auburn over the past couple of weeks. And then again, as you work your way towards the postseason, because, man, there are not many teams in the country that have four arms that you talk about of F-O-U-R arms, not F-O-R-E. A lot of teams have four arms, but four arms.
Oh, God. Oh, jeez.
That went over your head for a second.
Yeah, it did.
But there's not a lot of guys with...
You just got booed.
Tomato.
Tomato, this guy stinks.
It wasn't a good one, but it was...
you're right about that. It was not a good one.
No, but we continue. But there's not a lot of teams...
Clip it.
Yeah. Cut it out. There's not a lot of teams that have four guys that they trust to step onto the mound at any given situation. And you mentioned it of, man, it's a dartboard. Whoever you throw it on, whoever's face it lands on, that's who you go up to. Or, man, the dizzy bat spin. You blindfold yourself, spin around 10 times, and you point. And that's who you decide to go to. I mean, it's so impressive to see. And Alex Petrovic has stepped up so many times in so many of these games, because it's not like Auburn's going and doing what they did in Texas or in College Station. And they take the first two, and game three is just eh. A lot of these game threes are the ones that decide the series, and Auburn winning six straight. I mean, it's so, so impressive to see. And how nice is it of Alex Petrovic to be the guy that has the confidence to go out on the mound and get the job done?
I mean, he's just locked down, man. He's stone cold. You can see it in his eyes when he steps out there. He just knows what he has and knows his abilities, and he understands that his team is relying on him more times than not. And to not have a bad start to memory, I mean, you know, they're just incredible for what he's been able to do as of late. And some of his comments post game were pretty incredible too.
They were, yes. He threw 54 pitches in the first two innings. He ended the fourth with 76.
Yeah.
And our friends over at the Auburn Sports Network got to sit down and talk with Alex Petrovic on the Regions Bank post game show. This is what he had to say after his game three start.
Another 1-2 to Beavis. Strike three call on the outside corner. Third strikeout for Alex Petrovic.
Alex Petrovic. All right, Captain, let's talk about this outing today. This isn't the first, second, or third time. I mean, these rubber games now, you guys look so comfortable and confident coming out to start these games.
Yeah, it's the don't blink mentality. You know, we've been in this position before. Every game is important, but being able to have these guys hit 13 runs is a huge help. But being able to stick it in there for five innings and get these guys everything I got.
I know you have a lot of respect for this offense. Take me through the strikeout to get out of the first inning. They get a couple of guys on. They're trying to score early. Take me through that sequence.
Yeah, no, the no run in the first inning was something I was eyeing. I mean, we've been preaching on it. You know, I went three runs at Florida, two runs Oklahoma, one run A&M, and then this is the zero spot. We've been preaching on it, but big punch out. Got to make big pitches in big situations, and I did it.
Yeah, strand two there. Strand them loaded in the second. How important was the third inning? You get them 1-2-3 in the third inning. Just the third inning at that point all weekend, they'd been retired in order.
Yeah, kind of that settled spot, I think. Feeling really comfortable up there, knowing what's working, where I'm feeling the best, and where these guys don't want the ball, and where I need to put it. Just worked all together.
Was that the inning the slider started to set in nicely for you? Was there in that third, fourth inning stretch?
I think so, yeah. I wouldn't say it was even, you know, I never had my best one today. You know, I had a few close ones that I didn't get calls on, and that's going to happen. But been able to fight through that and throw the fastball in good counts and then good positions and change up. You know, I'm gonna lean on best pitches, and making good pitches always is huge.
54 pitches through those first two. What do you think was the key to get you on through the fifth and into that sixth inning today?
Defense. Trusting them. Getting that leadoff guy out. And then the double play was huge. That definitely helped me out a whole bunch. And these guys, they've been working their tails off. So, hats off to the defense.
Describe the emotion in the dugout as this one comes to a close and what it's like for you watching Hetzler out there finish it off today in seven.
Yeah, no, it's crazy having that guy coming in with 10 runs on him. Like that's a special arm right there. And the offense today just absolutely killed it all day. And being able to watch it from in here and then go out and throw up zeros after him. And it's a huge, huge part of the game that we really, really work on. And, I mean, this is a rubber match. We've been in this position before. I'm going to say it's a little different, but it's not. Every game we take seriously, and we got to take care of business.
Thanks very much for this one. Alex, War Eagle, congrats.
War Eagle, thank you.
Again, Alex Petrovic on the Regions Bank postgame show. Following the Game 3 start, he had the Game 3 win, the run rule victory that he got thanks to his offense and thanks to his defense as well, which he continues to give credit for. And, man, it goes by the wayside, kind of defense as a whole. The Sovereign team didn't make an error in Starkville, which is really, really impressive, really, really cool to see. And, my goodness, I mean, it gives so much confidence. We've talked with so many of the guys on the staff that talk about, man, I can just throw the ball over the plates. I don't have to worry about hitting my spot perfectly, because even if it's hit hard, man, my defense is going to be able to make a play.
And that's just such confidence again, man. It shows the discipline, it shows the experience, it shows the comfort that this Auburn team has at every position, every day, every game. And another series win because of guys like Petrovic, because of guys in the field and the bats coming alive again, man. There's not a hotter team in college baseball than Auburn and head coach Butch Thompson right now.
Auburn wins their sixth straight SEC series, but they did so and they got the opportunity to do so thanks to a Friday night response. Chase Frelick, arguably the biggest swing of the season. We're going to dive into a little bit more of that, continue talking about this series, the importance of the overall series, because again, Chase mentioned something, we're going to play his audio as well, of getting to a benchmark in the SEC. We have his audio, we'll talk about that. We also have a special guest coming in to join us at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss it. We continue talking Auburn baseball right after this here on ESPN 106.7.
From revolution to rockets, from dusty frontiers to city skylines, these are the moments that shaped America. This is the American Minute, presented by Bucks Island. September 1814. The War of 1812 raged. British warships bombarded Fort McHenry through the night. Explosions lit the sky over Baltimore Harbor. Watching nearby was a young lawyer named Francis Scott Key. All night long, rockets burst overhead. When the morning arrived, Key searched through the smoke. Still flying above the fort, the American flag. Inspired by what he saw, Key began writing a poem. A poem that would become America's national anthem. One more moment that shaped the country we call home. This American Minute is presented by Bucks Island. Family owned and operated, serving boaters since 1948. Online at bucksisland.com.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
We are back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line, continuing our deep dive into Auburn baseball. And we appreciate everybody for being here with us, making us a part of your Tuesday afternoon. We just broke down a lot of Game 3 and what Alex Petrovic had to say in the offense, man, just giving him all sorts of run support, and the defense stepping up as well. Again, going to break, it's a stat that, man, you forget about until things don't go the way that they should, and highlights your game from yesterday about, man, defense stepping up. And if you give a good team, like any team, but a team in the SEC, especially one like Texas A&M, like Florida, like Mississippi State, four outs in an inning, they're going to make you pay. Auburn did not surrender a single error in Stark Vegas this past weekend. Goes to show, man, how good this team is, how ready everybody is, and how they have found comfort in their spots. And we talked about Auburn winning yet another rubber match. I believe their fifth during this stretch of six straight SEC series wins, which again marks the first time that they have done this in a season since 1985. They did so in 2010, where they won five straight, and then they won their first in 2011, but in a season, the first since 1985. And I mean, my goodness, that feat in itself speaks volumes, much less the teams that they're playing, where Auburn just leads the country in so many statistics, so many categories. Auburn leads the SEC with 15 wins away from home They also lead the country or the top, the SEC with top 25 wins with 14. I would imagine that would be top three in the country as well. They also lead the SEC in top 10 wins with 11. That's just unheard of. And so the fact of you compound that with six straight series wins, it's absolutely incredible. But Auburn did not play their best game on Friday evening. Game two of the series, you talk about execution or the lack thereof. Being able to get bunts down has been a problem, an issue at times throughout the season, and that really worked its way into fruition. Auburn couldn't capitalize on a couple of them. Mississippi State was able to capitalize on a couple of them in a late Friday game with 14,000 breathing down your neck. Mississippi State scores one in the seventh, one in the eighth to tie the game, and my goodness, the entire mentality for everybody watching this game that wore the orange and blue was, not like this.
Yeah.
How are we going to get walked off? How is this going to hurt us to where, man, you lose the series? Then Chase Frelich steps in the top of the ninth, and the ability to only respond to the adversity of the crowd, but respond to the adversity that he had as well. And again, this is somebody that had five home runs in five games just a week and a half ago, but since then had really, really been struggling at the plate. And he talks about this here in just a few minutes when we play his audio. But the ability for him to respond, trust his scouting report, trust himself, trust his hands, a solo home run in the top half of the ninth inning is ultimately the deal breaker for the Auburn Tigers. They even the series. And I mean, when you get done with this season, whether this is something that, man, makes its way to Omaha or not, this is going to go down as one of the biggest swings of the season for the Auburn Tigers.
Well, it's one of those situations in sports, yes, but in baseball too, where you don't rely on that. You don't bank on that for one person to step up and make a play.
You don't want to, at least. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you don't want to rely on that day in and day out. That's a bad spot to be, right? If it's football, you don't want to rely on the quarterback to make that one throw or that receiver to make that one catch, or in basketball for that dude to step up and hit that three.
Yeah.
And in baseball, it's a guy to step up and get that hit. I mean, you never ask somebody to do that. You never bank on somebody to do that. But in the longevity of a season, you have to have these moments. You have to. You cannot go where you want to go if dudes don't step up and make plays, regardless if it's in the box, on the mound, in the field. And yeah, these are moments that you will look back on whenever this season is done, no matter how far it goes, of, man, what a hell of a swing that was from Chase Frelich. And your best player step up in the biggest moments. And my goodness, did he do that on Friday.
Top half of the ninth inning, tied at four. Chase Frelich gets a 1-2 inside fastball that he turns on and sends it into the grills in right center field. That a swing at the time you didn't even feel like truly gave Auburn momentum. Man, it felt like more of a sigh of relief. But my goodness, you go back and you look at it now and you see just how big that swing was. This is what he had to say with our friends over at the Auburn Sports Network and the Regions Bank postgame show.
One ball and two strikes to Chase. Line down the pitch. High drive into deep right field. Back at the wall. Look at this one go! Home run, Chase Frelich. His 13th of the year. On an 1-2 pitch, he missed, and Frelich made him pay, and Auburn goes up 5-4.
With Chase Frelich. Chase, big smile, big spirit in that dugout. What does this win say about this team?
I mean, it's just resilience. I mean, we can bounce back from any game, and whether teams are making a comeback or if we're on the ropes, this team can do anything.
We're going to get to your offense tonight. Let's talk about the game that you called with your two pitchers and their spirit and will to get to the finish line in their outings. Talk about Dre and Jackson tonight.
I mean, Dre did an unbelievable job. I mean, he threw 120 pitches last week, coming on a short rest again, even though it's a day later than normal. He fought his butt off to compete. I mean, he didn't have his stuff the way he's been having it, but he made big pitches and big counts, and he controlled the strike zone and limited damage and did everything we needed to do. And then Sanders did an unbelievable job competing. His stuff was as sharp as it's been all year, and he pounded the zone and he got big outs and controlled the lineup, and we did a great job making an adjustment from last night to tonight, and I'm glad it worked out for us.
It's one thing to know what the game plan needs to be against a good offensive team. It's another thing to be able to execute it in this environment, and those guys were able to do that more often than not tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, this environment's incredible. I mean, we've been in two of the loudest places the past 2 weeks, and I think A&M helped us prepare for this, and we've done a great job controlling our composure. We know what we have to do when we go out there on the field and the game plan we have when we go against the pitcher, and if we execute, we're going to be on the good side of the result.
All right, let's get to your offense, and let's start with your first RBI of the night. You know you got a guy at third, less than two outs, and you know your job in that situation at minimum, get the ball to the outfield, and you were able to do it. Take us through that at bat.
Yeah, I mean, it was bases loaded. I was trying everything I could to get a ball in the air. I mean, my at-bats have been pretty awful for the first five, six at-bats that I've been here, but it gave me the opportunity to have a focus and a plan of what I was doing, and it turned the tables by ultimately getting that first run on the board, and it set me up for better success later on in the game.
Yeah, and you come in that tie game. They've just wrestled momentum away. This whole stadium feels like they've got all the momentum, but you've seen their closer now for a couple of innings pitch against the other guys. What did you see from him, and what helped you in your at-bat?
I mean, it was just scouting report, knowing myself and knowing how I've been pitched all weekend. And I've been seeing a lot of fastballs with two strikes, and I wasn't going to miss another one.
Describe the energy in the dugout after this game. I mean, that's as fired up as you guys have been. This is a big win.
I mean, it's a huge win. Gets us to 15, which is a big benchmark in this conference. And, I mean, I blacked out once I hit the ball. I mean, I didn't feel it come off the bat. I didn't feel myself rounding the bases, and the team was as pumped for me as I've always. It was just, it was incredible.
Good stuff, Chase. Look forward to watching you out here tomorrow. War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Again, that was Chase Frelick on the Regions Bank postgame show after his solo shot in the top half of the ninth inning in game two, ultimately forcing a rubber game, which Auburn was able to win it in seven innings. I almost said extra innings. But extra innings for you last night, partner. And yeah. You're making your way out of here, going to call Auburn High and Enterprise at Troy University. Once again, before the music kicks us out of here, let everybody know where you're headed and where they need to tune in.
Yeah, heading down to Troy University again. Man, Riddle Pace Field, excited to be there. Game three, winner take all. Auburn High and Enterprise. 96.3 W. Lee is the place to be. Download the Radio Alabama app. You can catch us there as well. 6 o'clock, first pitch, game three, basically game seven for those of you familiar with the professional sports side. So, gonna have a ton of fun. And the winner gets Central Phoenix City. If Auburn wins tonight, they host the Red Devils in the state semifinals this weekend.
Man, go get it done. Be safe. We're looking forward to listening to it. Auburn and Enterprise game three over on 96.3 W. Lee. He's out of here. I'm sticking around. Our good buddy Tripp's taking your microphone, and we step away from the baseball diamond and we flip to the hardwood as Auburn basketball has some news on an opponent they haven't played in quite some time.
Minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Jacob Goins out on the road, and we pass the microphone off to our good buddy Tripp. Mr. Tripp Upton, how are you? Happy Tuesday to you, sir.
Happy Tuesday to you as well. It's a little muggy outside today, a little chillier. You know, if for those in the radio world, you're let you in a little secret. Jacob Goins was wearing shorts this morning and had to change the pants. If that tells you anything, and he claims to be a cold weather guy.
Weak-minded. Weak-minded, working his way to game three to work to a final four. I mean,
I know. Did you hear his call in the end of that game?
I did.
It was pretty good. I can't lie. I made sure to text him.
Man, wearing shorts. What are we doing here?
Wearing shorts. Yeah. But no, good Tuesday. Enjoyed some cookout for lunch. I see you got your Oreo milkshake over there.
Of course. Yes. Always. And again, had a lot of fun covering Auburn baseball, talking Auburn baseball, our deep dive over the last 30 minutes and Auburn winning their sixth straight series. But we mentioned after a fun conversation, excuse me, and being able to dive into a lot of this yesterday with you, figured we'd take a little bit of a break from the baseball side of things. We are going to pick it back up to start hour number two, a special interview as we have every single Tuesday with a member of Auburn baseball. We'll give you who that is here in just a little bit. We're also going to preview Auburn and Jacksonville State
coming up tonight, and how Auburn hopes for a very different result on the road than the last time these two teams met inside Plainsman Park. And so we'll be able to break down that first game and how, man, Jacksonville State, when you look at it, they play a very frustrating brand of baseball to try and man up against, because they seem to do all of the little things right. And it's what you have to do as one of those mid-majors, and Jacksonville State's done it so well that, I mean, they're most likely going to play their way into a major spot in the postseason in the field of 64. And so should be a whole lot of excitement in the game tonight. But we'll, again, we'll dive into a little bit more on that tomorrow, or in hour number two, rather. But did get some news on the hardwood for Auburn basketball, as there was a little bit of rumblings on a team and an opponent and a place, but didn't quite know all of the details, and we don't know a game time yet, but it is confirmed that Auburn is making their way back up to Auburn North, but not to play a conference opponent. Auburn scheduling a neutral site game against Wisconsin on December 19th in Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. It'll be the first time that these teams meet since the 2006-2007 season, where Wisconsin won that one 77-62 in a tournament that, to be completely honest, I had no idea existed, the South Padre Island Invitational.
I'm going to look that up. Let's see where that is.
I can't say that I have heard of that one, but again,
it's in Texas.
That was also not going to be my guess of where that invitational
was. It is like right it's at like the tip of Texas. Like you're about 5 minutes away from Mexico.
I mean, I guess putting that two and two together would,
it's like,
make
south of Corpus Christi and Point or Port A, if you know where it is. So a little bit of geography on the radio.
Of course, yeah. Naturally. Fill out your bingo card on that side of things. But again, the first time these two teams have met since the 2006-7 season. There you go. Had to get that out for you. And this Wisconsin team made a lot of people upset last season after being one of the hottest teams in all of college basketball, and especially down the stretch. They were expected to make a whole lot of noise. And then High Point walked in.
The Panthers, baby.
The Panthers of High Point. And what was the gentleman's name? Was it Cole Johnston, I believe, that had shot?
The kid that like had not made a three all year.
He made twos all season long.
Was
2 of 4, hit the game-winning layup to go and beat the Badgers in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And I think this is brings a lot of excitement to the Auburn fan base and the Auburn side of things. We talk all about how Auburn basketball and Auburn baseball, for that matter, as well. And I guess you could say Auburn football this year going to Atlanta, where there's going to be a postseason game. But Auburn baseball, we mentioned it, going up to the Hoover Met a couple of weeks ago to take on Samford, to play in a place where they're going to play here in just a couple of weeks in the SEC tournament, to be able to get a feel of the stadium, the batter's eye, the warning track, the mound, the dirt.
Well, no, you continue. Sorry, I was gonna make a joke about, you know, you're saying that Auburn going to Bridgestone to prepare for the SEC tournament, going to Hoover to prepare for the SEC tournament. We're going to Atlanta.
That's what I
fall.
Said. Yeah, okay. We're going to Atlanta to start for a postseason game in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So maybe makes the connection of football as well. But
maybe.
You talk all about what the teams have to go and what they have to play up against. And so being able to familiarize yourself with a baseball field or now a basketball court. And my goodness, we talk all about how State Farm Arena may be Auburn's favorite place to play, even maybe more so than Neville Arena. I mean, if you could take the rims, if you could take the nets from State Farm Arena and just move them into Neville Arena, that might be, the greatest thing to ever be done for Auburn basketball. But I really like the opportunity. I like the idea of going and familiarizing yourself with a gym. I know that Duke did it, Arizona did as well over this past season, playing games where they expected to be playing in the Elite Eight, the Final Four, and so made it to where there was a little bit more comfort on that side of things. I think this is really cool for the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I have honestly the opposite take from with football neutral site games in the regular season versus non-conference games for basketball, where, you know, going to a play place like Nashville where there's a lot of Auburn fans. This is not going to be an away game. I know at least like two or three out of just my close friend group that's moving up there. And we all sent in the group chat this morning talking about, hey, maybe we can go up there, go for a game, either for work or just to go to Nashville. I've never been up there.
Yeah, and we're the same way for Atlanta as well.
Right, exactly, especially you know being able to stay at home there. But just that's going to be a good opportunity. It's going to be a home game in Bridgestone Arena, home of the Nashville Predators. That'll be a really cool environment for Auburn, and I am really excited to see kind of what this team looks like at that point. This Wisconsin team, kind of looking at what they did last season. They had some big wins over your Michigan States, your Illinois, but also lost some games that they probably shouldn't have. And again, High Point, the Panthers being one of them. I think it's going to be a good matchup. It's going to be a good early test for Stephen Pearl and these Tigers where you're playing on December 19th. This is probably your first away game out of Neville Arena, maybe your second, depending on, you know, kind of a Christmas break kind of game.
Sure.
Actually, I guess they have the Players Invitational over Christmas.
Yeah, or over Thanksgiving. Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know if y'all talked about, but that's going to be such a big thing to do as well. But, you know, looking at Wisconsin, they are a team that can make some noise. I mean, you come from the Big Ten, and solid basketball conference, I'd say, as well. But, I mean, you're returning some good guys. I wish they still had John Tonji, who was there 2 years ago. I have some good stories about him in terms of maybe making a couple extra dollars off that guy.
Not that we know anything
about that. Hypothetical dollars.
Right. Monopoly money, as we like to say
monopoly
here.
Monopoly money, absolutely.
Here on the show. But, yeah, you mentioned the Auburn team looking a whole lot different. And Auburn, again, prioritizing the returnees, I think, was obviously step number one with Kevin Overton, Tahad Pettiford, Simon Walker, guys like that. The transfer portal is obviously a big help for Auburn as well. And so it's going to be a new team, a new face, or a bunch of new faces that work their way out onto the court. And early season and test, but then you look over at the Wisconsin side of things as well, and there are six players that they have set that could return and most likely are still planning on returning. A lot of lower or underclassmen. You do have a center in Nolan Winter, who's one of the best big men in college basketball. But you feel like what they're losing could ultimately be a bigger impact. The guard, Nick Boyd, out of eligibility. Braden Carrington, Isaac Guard, and Andrew Rohde were big-time impacts for this team last year, especially, again, led by Nick Boyd. You also lose John Blackwell, who's a senior transferring out of Wisconsin. And so there's going to be a whole lot of new names, new faces, and you feel like you say that every single year when it comes to any college sports. You're sitting there learning about your team, but I'm really excited to see what this Auburn team is able to put on the floor. And again, this is another big time test that you have to, we've learned over the past couple of years, it doesn't matter who you lose to, it just matters who you play. And obviously you go out there with the mindset of taking care of business and getting the job done. But in a final tune-up game like this, this makes it to where Stephen Pearl has the freedom of, okay, let's put these two guards out there at the same time. Let's run a three big man system. Let's run a smaller lineup and just see what works against a team that you feel like is bona fide year in and year out to make the postseason. And so again, a really, really early season test for the Tigers that I don't really have any problem with.
Yeah, no, again, it's a good team. It's going to be a team that's going to be in tournament contention. I mean, it's kind of hard not to be in tournament contention now with the expanded system for sure. But looking at this team, I mean,
hurts.
Yeah. You talked about the guys like out of eligibility. I think losing John Blackwell will be such a big thing. He was a third All Big Ten team honor. He was named to the conference All Tournament team, and I mean, he averaged 19 points a game. He's at Duke now. If that tells you the really impact he had and kind of the ceiling he had. I mean, Duke, perennial blue blood. And so I think that Wisconsin, Greg Gard, the head coach, losing him and losing some of the guys, it's gonna be a rebuild here for him. And I wouldn't say this is a rebuild year for Steven.
You're not allowed to say rebuild anymore in the NIL era.
Yeah, no. This is a retooling year or like
revamped.
Revamped. You're kind of what Auburn had last year, except if Bruce Pearl was still the head coach, kind of with like only one returning star in Tahad Pettiford. But keeping some of the guys, I really expect Auburn to play well and set up an out of conference slate. Again, we talked about the players. We talked about some other teams. And I think this, like, out of like just non-con for the basketball, not as hard as the past 2 years, but it's teams that you're beating that you could are about even match, maybe a little less, or in teams that are a little better, instead of just murderer's row when you are still trying to figure out, hey, how do I head coach a basketball team?
Right. I mean, yeah, you're figuring out where your team sits before conference play because, again, there's been a lot of proposals of the need to finish above 500 in conference play just to be eligible to make the postseason. And so it still continues the conversation of it doesn't matter who you beat, it just matters who you play in non-con. And Auburn now with two confirmed non-conference games next season. We mentioned again the essentially home game, which you feel like also favors Auburn a little bit. It's a neutral site, but it's not neutral. You feel like it will be dominated by the Auburn family, but a big one that's also hasn't been talked about too much is the return trip for the Arizona Wildcats coming to Neville Arena, and maybe that's just because of what Arizona was able to do to Auburn at home last year at their place. Didn't really make it look like a contest. Koa Pete, Braden Burries, Jaden Bradley were one of the best combinations in all of college basketball, as you saw the run that they were able to make. But, man, it just brings you back to what this Auburn team did over the past couple of years in their non-conference schedule.
100%. And looking at the, you know, the players era 8 that the Auburn will be on, just to have some other teams on there. This will be the week of November 16th, so about a month before.
Oh, it's earlier this year.
Well, there's the players era 8 and then the players era 16 the next Thanksgiving week.
Okay.
So they're doing two weeks, so it'll be in the players era 8. I mean, this is a murderer's row of terms of teams. Number 1 Florida, Houston, Kansas, Auburn, so Blue Bloods, West Virginia, Notre Dame, Rutgers, and the hometown UNLV running Rebs. And, you know, those are all programs, you know, especially that top with Florida, Houston, Kansas, Auburn. Those are all good teams. Even West Virginia is a pretty solid program year in and year out. And I think Notre Dame and Rutgers really looking to have bounce back years after struggling last year. But that's 100% a conversation where Auburn can win that thing. I mean, yes, you'd have to go up against a Florida or a Houston or a Kansas team that all could be, again, one-seed contenders. But it just it makes it for an easier out of non-conference. Looking at last year's non-conference slate, it is pretty, you know, you see there's highs and lows. You have the first Bethune-Cookman going to overtime, which was just so incredibly insane. But then you had to go, you played Houston at a neutral site. You had to play Oregon. You had to play Michigan. You had to play NC State at home. You had to go to Arizona. Just a lot of tough opponents. Purdue was a good team. You had to play them in Indianapolis. And it's just a, you know, really just tough teams you had to play, and it's iron sharpens iron, and that's going to help you this year, especially in the non-con, and it kind of helped you in SEC play and it kind of hurt you. But now with a lineup that I think is a Stephen Pearl trusted lineup, I think that they're going to be able to go out and beat a team like Wisconsin, compete with a team like Arizona, go to that players eight and go and win games.
I think that that's a big topic of conversation that we'll continue to have nearing college basketball season and nearing more and more dates that get released for Auburn basketball, because a big time conversation just a couple of weeks ago, or I guess a couple of months ago now at this point, because the calendar just flips so dang fast. But, man, there were legit conversations of if Auburn didn't play such a tough non-conference schedule last year, if they didn't have that loss to Michigan, if they didn't have that loss at Arizona, and instead they scheduled somebody else like a South Alabama and picked up a couple of freebie wins, they might have made their way into the NCAA tournament. And now, obviously, again, with the expansion, that doesn't play as big of a factor, but you're really starting to pay attention now a lot more to a lot of these teams' non-conference schedules, because yes, the best of the best want to play the best of the best, but in a team like Auburn from last year that had expectations of making the tournament, and I mean, it was round of 32, sweet 16. If you could get to that Elite Eight spot, you felt like you were maybe stepping above what you were supposed to do and overachieving in year one. But it's a big time test, and it's a big time conversation that a lot of these coaches are needing to have with their teams, to the reality checks of, okay, do we need two or three more conference wins, or do we need to solidify playing some of the best teams in the entire country? So that way, when we get to the postseason, we'll have already played a bunch of these teams, and our resume will stick out for itself. We're going to take our final break here in hour number one. We'll wrap it up right after this on the other side of the break here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. Jacob Goins out on the road, making his way down to Enterprise.
Are he's on the road again?
I think that is Troy. I think that is. Oh, he is going. That is right.
Yeah, game three in Troy.
In Troy, yeah. I keep forgetting that the games were pushed back multiple hours. The location changed about 1,800 times. But Auburn and Enterprise, game three. Winner goes to the Final Four, and Auburn looks to win on the road and come back and host the Red Devils of Central Phoenix City, which would be a crazy series, a very similar to what Lee Scott has of, man, Lee Scott and Glenwood, winner goes
Gators
to the state championship. And so
I know you're fired up about that.
I'm very, very excited, man. That's tomorrow, 4:30 and 6:30, if game needed on Thursday afternoon. But the idea of you being two wins away from being two wins away is a really, really cool mindset. And the idea that you can do it against your rival. And Auburn has the chance to do that if they survive here tonight on the road at Troy. Again, 96.3 WLEE, 96.3 WLEE.com, and that Radio Alabama app. Here coming up in hour number two, we continue talking a little bit of Auburn baseball. We will preview Auburn and Jacksonville State round two. We'll also talk about some college football storylines that have been circulating around social media in terms of the Southeastern Conference not playing games on Friday night. Just like every other conference has a couple of them, the Southeastern Conference does not. Greg Sankey has clapped back. I think that's what the kids are calling it these days.
That's what they're saying up at the other publication that really likes out of Birmingham that really likes Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Sankey is clapping back at a lot of the teams and the conferences that are complaining. And why do we think that's really good? Because my goodness, high school football still dominates. And so we'll be able to talk a little bit about that. Also, a conversation on 5-7 bowl bids, possibly making their way to the postseason and why. A, it's really unfortunate and really sad that bowl season has gone down the drain. But B, how pathetic it is that 5-7 teams may be eligible to continue their season.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little later for sure, because it's a... it's a hot topic for 138 or 37 FBS teams, but when it's Auburn, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I mean, when it involves your team, it's perfectly fine. Yeah. But as long as it, as soon as it involves anybody else or your rival's team,
absolutely
we got to get
not.
Rid of it. Get rid of that.
Uphold the standard.
I mean, my goodness. Especially eligibility being a standard. What are you? We're not student athletes here. We're athletes that make more money than you do. All of that coming up here in hour number two. But we start hour number two continuing our Auburn baseball weekly interviews. And we got the head man, head coach Butch Thompson, joining us to start hour number two. Don't you dare turn the radio dial. We're back right after this.
Is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what sports talk radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two of On the Line. It is the show that tells it like it is and holds nothing back. I'm Christian Griffin. He is Trip Upton here with you in the studio. We appreciate everybody for being here with us and making us a part of your Tuesday afternoon. Whether you've been with us the entire time, you're just now tuning in, what a great time to be tuning in, and what a perfect afternoon that I guess it's turning out to be in terms of playoff baseball.
It's looking a little better.
I mean,
it doesn't matter what it is here. It more matters what it is in Troy.
Sure, but regardless, a perfect afternoon to have a perfect game three.
It's a day to have a day.
It is a great day to have a great day. And speaking of great, we had a great hour number one. We were able to dive into our weekly deep dive into Auburn baseball, winning its sixth straight series. We talked a little bit more about game three and the offensive production, Alex Petrovic in there as well. And I just think it's absolutely crazy to think about, man, you hear all about these pitchers that have to get out of the first or get out of the first in the second inning. That's exactly what Petrovic had to do. Escape the jam in the first, escaped the bases loaded in the second, had thrown 54 pitches after two innings, ended the fourth with 76. And that was what allowed him to continue going and get the full five innings and make the job just that much easier for the rest of the Auburn Tigers. I would say 13 runs helped in there as well. We also talked about Chase Frelick's swing arguably being the biggest one of the season up to this date. There's been some really, really big moments in Bristol Carter's RBI single that Robbins errored, missed it in center field, went under his glove, and Auburn walked it off against Texas. That obviously is one that comes to mind, but in terms of just a momentum shifter, a series shifter, man, Chase Frelick's swing in the top of the ninth in game two when State and 15,000 plus at Duty Noble Field had all of the momentum. The fact that Chase was able to silence that on a 1-2 inside fastball and send it into the seats in right center field just to give Auburn a chance at a rubber match and then the ultimate ability to go and win the series. Was that the biggest swing for Auburn so far this season? We then flipped over to the hardwood and talked some Auburn basketball as Auburn has scheduled a neutral site against Wisconsin on December 19th up in Auburn North at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Tennessee. The first time since 2006 that these teams will have met. We dove into what Wisconsin is bringing back to their team. And we also dove into what Auburn is expecting to play in the non-conference slate, and then in comparison to what Auburn has been playing, and if that's going to change, possibly to try and benefit what the Tigers are hoping to do in the postseason. But then again, the expanded tournament, nobody really knows what that means. Everybody gets in, bro. Participation trophies for everybody. Everybody gets in. All of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can go back and catch up at the podcast, wherever you get your podcast, or at the podcast center at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we've got some great stuff for you. We're going to talk about some college football storylines that are floating around Twitter, that are floating around social medias.
Sorry, X, formerly known as Twitter.
Sorry, my mistake. We're going to be talking about some of that. We're going to be deep diving into tonight's match between Auburn and Jacksonville State in Jacksonville, Alabama. We're going to be doing a little deep dive into that as well. But first, we got the head man, Butch Thompson.
We do, yes. Butch Thompson, again, we do this weekly, and for those that have been a part of the show and fans of the show, man, this is one of our favorite segments of the week. This has turned into a lot of everybody's favorite segment, whether it's been the head coach, whether it's been a couple of the assistants. We've had plenty of players out there as well. I got to talk with Ryan Hetzler last week. We've talked with a plethora of the pitchers. We got to talk with Chase Frelick earlier on in the season as well. But nearing down the home stretch, you have your game against Jacksonville State tonight, wrapping up an 8-game road stretch for the Tigers. You come back home to take on Georgia in the regular season finale. We thought, what better man to have on the airwaves than head coach Butch Thompson? And he was able to sit down with Jacob and myself earlier this morning to preview Jacksonville State, to preview Georgia, and talk about kind of the season as a whole, things that have gone right, the way that this team has battled adversity. And so, again, really appreciative of his time and very grateful to have this for you. Here is head coach of the Auburn University Tigers, Coach Butch Thompson.
Back here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We continue talking Auburn baseball as we have for most of the show today and have for several weeks now. And we get to be joined in the final week of the regular season by Auburn baseball's head coach, Butch Thompson. Coach, always a pleasure to have you on the show with us here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. We know there is a ton going on today throughout the next couple of days as well. And the fact that we're in the last week of the regular season, I hope you've been able to enjoy the ride a little bit.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, War Eagle. I've enjoyed the journey. I hope our fans have, and I know we've been away from home, but what the boys have done the last 6 weeks, I really hope people don't gloss over that. The amazing teams we played, the success they've had, and how much our team's grown. Everybody wants the end, right? But we've absolutely enjoyed this journey with this team, watching them grow, have success, especially playing on the road in front of these big crowds, top 10 teams having success. But, you know, this last week's going to be a blast too. You know, a Jacksonville State and a Georgia, both are basically already regular season champions and two of the seven teams that have reached 40 wins. So we just are going to step it up here to finish. And but it's been an amazing journey, an amazing ride.
Coach, in the term of sports, or in the world of sports, the word special is a very overused term, but man, you feel like there's hardly other words that come to mind when you look at what you mentioned, what this team has done over the last 6 weeks, and what this team has the opportunity of being able to do with the postseason and then beyond. What is it about this team and all of your years of coaching that makes this team stand out in their own right?
I don't know. It's a young team. And we thought it was a good team, right? Even people preseason thought it was a good team, but I didn't think that was fair because we had just lost 11 guys to professional baseball. But these guys have gone on a journey where they got a preseason ranking and said, how are we going to live up to that? And kind of settled. And you look up at the end of the year and they're kind of back where we started, so to speak. But there's so many freshmen. You know, I think about Bingaman, who's the SEC player freshman of the week for three times now. I think about Bubb and Frelick and Rembert, those freshmen that are now sophomores that are basically arguably our best players, but they're only sophomores still, of just navigating, and Frelick getting the big home run or hitting five home runs in five games, and just Rembert being a steady presence and having such a good week last week. It's just been fun. Those four pitchers on the weekends that, you know, there takes more than four, but those four guys between Marciano and what Sanders has done, you know, moving him to the pen, and all he's done is, since then, is win about four games and save a game. And, you know, Marciano, Alvarez, Petrovic, those four guys are sophomores, and how they've been able to hunker down, you know, in front of 14,000 or at Mississippi State or Blue Bell or at Florida recently. That's just, it's impressive. And so hopefully, you know, we're fighting for that consistency, and it feels like that offense has really grown, where it's like, you know, we're getting some contributions top to bottom. You know, sometimes when you face like game one at Mississippi State, when you face 95 to 99 for nine innings, two lefties, and you feel like you're playing the NL East instead of the old SEC West. I mean, those are tough days. But nonetheless, these guys are just hung in there, and when somebody's punched us in the mouth, we've been pretty resilient. So I think that's a positive feature of having a young team, is they let stuff go pretty quick, and they'll come right back out not knowing any better and just compete with you. And they've done that time and time again.
Auburn baseball has won six series in a row in the Southeastern Conference. Now 16-11 is the conference record, 35-15 overall. And we're talking to head coach Butch Thompson here on ESPN 106.7. What other streaks and moments in your career, coach, have you had quite like this, where your team has just figured it out? It seems like every game is different, every win is different, every loss has been different too, it seems like. Can you remember certain periods in your coach career that have been like this one over the past couple of months?
Yeah, I remember being in Baton Rouge on a game three, about 105 degrees, and we were 6-9 in the league, and the pitching coach told me we were all gonna get fired. And I remember
I remember winning 14 SEC games in a row after that.
Holy cow.
So that was in 2004, and it really, we won the SEC championship, went all the way to Omaha, and we were 6-9 on a Sunday in Baton Rouge. That, maybe that ought to be my first book here when I get through doing this. 6-9 in Baton Rouge, and for that team to win 14 games in a row, it was just, it became comical, right? You know, you sweep 4 weekends in a row. Was just incredible. So I remember the game we got beat was the last weekend. We were here at Auburn, and God, I can't think of one of those big lefties hit home run that wrapped around that right field foul pole, and like it kind of walked us off. And I'm like, we lose? We hadn't felt that feeling in a long time. But I guess the 14-0 streak going through SEC play, I'll date it back to 2004 for, you know, a good feeling and a good run, because we've won these 6 weekends, but I'm telling you, there's 4 other games in there that are one-run games that we feel like we could have won or lost. And some of these games we've won, we feel like we could have won or lost. It's just been, it's been great, competitive, fun baseball.
Coach, I want to take you back to the weekend of March 20th, 21st, and 22nd, and I guess even more the week leading up to that, when we got to go and listen to you speak at a little convention, and you mentioned how you were a little bit frustrated that this team hadn't handled or hadn't had a whole lot of adversity that they had to handle, and you said, I'd be okay if it didn't start this week. Well, the back half of it, it did, and you lost 6 of your next 7 games up to that point. What were some of the meetings like during that stretch, whether that was player-only led, whether that was coaches to coaches, whether that was coaching to player? What were some of those meetings like, and how did you see this team respond to that adversity?
Yeah, I wish I had something dramatic for you. I felt like, you know, we were beating some good teams, winning some games. They're all good wins, but we were just doing some things that, you know, eventually if they're not rectified or dealt with, or if it gets better, it'll start showing up. And so I think it just showed up for a little bit, really offensively. You know, I think about going to Alabama and scoring 4 runs for a weekend. It don't matter if it's Alabama or whatever team's name you want to put in there. You go on the road and score 4 runs on a weekend, you're probably coming out of there with 0. Mm-hmm. And that happened. And I remember playing Jacksonville State the first time. That was a team meeting that I took the team and didn't let the assistant coaches come out there to the meeting and just had the players talk. So, you never want to go through anything like that. Most years you coach a college baseball team where you're playing 50-plus games, you're probably going to have a moment like that that you go through. So, and if it's to the benefit of the ball club, which with this young team, it probably was, and I don't want them to have to walk through that, but if it makes us get our attention and understand what we were trying to tell them, so be it. And, you know, I think it made us a little stronger going through that, and I think it made us a little more prepared to walk into Gainesville and College Station and Starkville and all these places that we've had to play this second half. And I just think they found themselves, and they found what was important and what leads to success, because human nature and most of us as fans, we just – I mean, it's just a scoreboard. And I know that there's Auburn fans that all they do is look at the scoreboard, and that hurts me. Because the journey of these guys, what they just went through for 6 weeks, you know, and everybody points back to those 6 out of 7 games.
Right.
If this team was to make a run, I'll be happy to be the first one to point it out that that's where we found ourselves. Because you have to know exactly who you are. You have to have your identity. Even if things are going good, if you don't have an identity, it's temporary. Those guys use that moment to find themselves. Now, if we'd have wasted that moment and lost 6 out of 7, we'd have still been losing games here along the way. I think for the most part, we found some urgency there. We found some identity of what this 26 club's supposed to be. And it was not about the 25 club that set us up in good shape. We had to go find ourselves. I think for the most part, they've used that moment to their benefit, and they put it into good practice for this good run.
Well, I would say that Auburn baseball is playing their best baseball, and they will have to put that on display tonight in their 8th straight road game. They go to Jacksonville State tonight. That's a 6 o'clock first pitch. You can listen to the radio broadcast on our sister station, Wings 94.3, before the Tigers return home for the regular season finale against the Georgia Bulldogs on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're talking with head coach Butch Thompson here on ESPN 106.7. And what can you give us in terms of a quick scouting report for what you expect to see tonight, coach, against a conference champion Jacksonville State, and then this weekend against a conference champion in Georgia?
Well, Jacksonville State is great training for us. It absolutely prepares you for some teams you're going to play. Not like an SEC team to where, you know, you got a Grahovac that's a first rounder, an Ace Reese that, like, you really have to figure out how to sequence because those guys are paid to stand there and get hits. This Jacksonville State team's not going to do that. I would imagine the first two out of three, three out of four batters that walk up to the plate's going to bunt tonight. They're going to bunt and they're going to run and they're going to pressure you. And Griffin Graves, the left-hander, they're not just going to let him sit there and pitch. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to add their own flavor and force some things to happen, but that's their DNA. A team like that is great training for us right now. And we got to be ready for it. We got to go up there and get ready on that turf in 45 minutes of batting practice to get the feel of the turf, get in the right spot. Hopefully we'll dictate a little bit more, like with Gravor at third base, being in a little bit more, forcing them to swing the bat. So we'll try to do some things, but it'll be great training. And then, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs have come in here, already secured the regular season SEC, and they've hit more home runs than anybody on earth. So we'll have to have our sequences. And, you know, I think we're the only pitching staff in the Southeastern Conference below a 4 ERA. So the guys have done an amazing job, and we will have to be at our best to contain the best offense in college baseball. And it should be exciting. There's some great things going on. Rod Bramlett, the radio booth, we're going to put in his name. That's a big deal on Saturday.
That's awesome.
Josh Donaldson, we're adding him as a fifth member, putting his jersey on the wall. Outstanding. Friday morning, we got a big golf tournament. We're honoring our graduates, our seniors. There's a lot of chaos going on for this last weekend. Mm-hmm. But, man, it'll be a sign and a mark of how awesome our program is and some neat things going on. So I hope everybody can find their way out. I think we're at 7 o'clock on Thursday, 7 on Friday, and 2 o'clock on Saturday.
That's correct.
All three games we just played in Starkville were ESPN2, which is amazing. To be at this run, at this stage of the year, and now with Georgia coming in, we'll be ESPN2 national TV for the first two games of this series. So it's been fun. So I just want to make sure our fans enjoy the journey. Hey, tomorrow, we'll worry about tomorrow. That's got enough problems of its own. So just stay present with this team. Enjoy this team. They played hard for us. They've made us proud. And it's a big finishing week for the Auburn Tigers.
It's a big stretch coming up for Auburn baseball. It starts tonight at Jacksonville State, then Georgia in this weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Head coach Butch Thompson of Auburn baseball with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. Coach, always appreciate your time. We really do enjoy these conversations. Good luck tonight and good luck this weekend and, of course, in the postseason as well.
Thank you, man, for your time. War Eagle.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
Is there anybody better in the business than head coach Butch Thompson? I don't know that I could confidently tell you yes. I mean, so good at, man, just at what he does. And it sounds so simply put, but every time you watch him coach, every time you listen to him speak, I mean, the plan is there, the vision is there, and he talks about being present. And he is in this team, and he challenges his team to be present. But he's so forward-thinking, and, man, it's just so impressive to be able to talk to somebody like that. And so, again, we appreciate Coach Thompson and his time and George's time as well for setting everybody up and allowing us to have the time to conversate and to be able to dive into the mindset of the coaches and the players and just what this season has meant and continues to mean with, I mean, the greatness that is being put out on the field every single time. And I mean it when I say that the word special is so overused in the terms of sports, simply comparatively to hearing the word unbelievable. Like, I mean, you hear that nightly and it's like, okay, at what point is something pretty believable? But when you're looking at what this Auburn team continues to do, you feel like special is a term that you could throw, especially over these last six series, over the last month and a half, because everything that they're continuing to do. You feel like every time the call or their phone rings, they answer the call. They continue to answer with extra punches. And, man, this Auburn team is really, really impressive. And, I mean, you continue to hear it with the guy that they're led by in Coach Butch Thompson.
Yeah, I mean, he is one of the best managers in the collegiate baseball. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find more than three or four.
Yeah.
Like, he has done so well. And it's not a team where it's like, oh, it's only pitching, and then they can't hit. They score maybe – it's every final score is 1-0.
Right.
But it's
which
not,
Auburn has had that in the past.
Auburn's had that in the past, and Auburn's also had times when it's you know, it's a football score.
Yeah,
where
you got to win 13-8.
Yeah, I think of, you know, Danny Hall, Georgia Tech, just kind of a comparison where it's like, yeah, it's going to be – you're going to score 15 runs, but you just can't give up 16.
Right, and I mean
– it's both. It's the pitching comes out one night, you get those 1-0 wins, and then you get those 10-9 wins that you need as well.
Which you have to be able to have, and it's funny you say that because the team that comes to town this weekend fits one of those storylines, and a team that Auburn plays tonight fits a completely different storyline. Georgia, who he mentioned, hits more home runs than the entire college baseball a team combined. I mean, that's what they live off of, and they'd be perfectly fine winning every game 17-13. And how many run rules do they have where they win 18-8 or 17-4, whatever the case may be? But we'll talk a little bit more about that series as the weekend goes on, but very happy that he was able to bring on and talk about Josh Donaldson being retired and then Rob Bramblett as well and what they're doing to honor him. I think that is really, really cool. And so if you needed an extra pitch to make your way out to Plainsman Park this weekend, maybe that is the reason to do so. But Auburn has another really, really good test here coming up tonight. And we mentioned it in hour number one of, man, this Jacksonville State team is so good because of the frustrating brand of baseball that they play. Auburn lost 15-4 in 8 innings back on April 7th inside Plainsman Park, which was obviously in the midst of their toughest stretch of the season for Auburn baseball. Jacksonville State had 15 runs on 17 hits, and it all started quite literally one pitch into the game. It was a bunt for a hit. He advanced to second on a throwing error from the pitcher. There was then a bunt for a hit, a safety squeeze, and a two-run home run. 5 pitches into the top of the first inning, Auburn was down 3-0. That's a very frustrating brand of baseball to try and play against, and you're playing one of the best teams in college baseball in terms of doing what they do, not changing their offense, and forcing you to adapt to their game.
Yeah, it's like we talked about, get a man on, get a man over, get a man in. That's just so important for Jacksonville State. And on top of that, they're also a dominating pitching staff. Looking at these numbers right here that I had pulled up earlier, they're number 8 in the nation in ERA. They have a 3.56 ERA. They're top 20 in whip. They're top 15 in strikeouts per 9. They're number 9 in strikeouts with 523. And they're number 2 in saves. That goes against an Auburn pitching staff, though. Number 1 in ERA with a 3.35. Number 1 in whip with a 1.15. Top 15 in strikeouts per 9. Number 1 in walked batters per 9. And number 16 in strikeouts. These are two good pitching staffs, so it's really going to be interesting to see with Jacksonville State. They just need to get hits. That's all they're going to be looking for today, and getting people on base. Auburn, meanwhile, is going to have to try and score multiple runs at a time, capitalize with runners in scoring position, try and get the long ball, and stay ahead of this Jacksonville State team. They will be able to play first. They're in Jacksonville. They're going to have the top of the first inning. If they could do the opposite of what happened to them, get in front first, we'd be looking at a different ballgame.
Head coach Butch Thompson said it just a few moments ago. He wouldn't be surprised if the first 3, if not 4 batters try and lay down a bunt and force Auburn's defense to make plays. And maybe Auburn can take a page out of that book as well and continue to add another wrinkle to their really good offense. Jacksonville State, one of the best teams in the country in bunts for hits, sack bunts, and sack flies. So they do the dirty work when it's needed. But we flip over away from baseball yet again, and now to the gridiron to talk some college football storylines.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here with us. And I said before the break we were going to flip over to the gridiron and talk a little bit of college football storylines. Again, we have comments and quotes on the SEC not playing basically weekday college football games and Sankey's response to that, allowing Friday night to still be one of the biggest nights for high school football and for coaches to be able to recruit in that aspect as well. Also, the idea of 5-7 bowl bids being a possibility if there are not enough 6-win football teams or 7-win football teams to fill those spots, or the amount of teams opting out based off of eligibility and academic grades and things like that, they can then become eligible as if they were a 6-win football team. But do want to dive into something here for just a few moments, because it was something I saw as soon as we went to break, and it fits in with the conversations that we have been having and the conversations that we will be able to talk about tonight, recap tomorrow, and then preview this weekend. It is D1 Baseball's Week 14 projected field of 64, and this was released half an hour ago. Otherwise, we probably would have talked about it earlier, but Auburn is now up to the number 4 overall national seed, which is really, really exciting. If everything were to end right now, which again, we know that there is still a lot that can be changed, but Auburn hosting a regional, being which we knew of, but being a top 8 national seed, and that has some cushion in there as well, which I think brings a whole lot of excitement. Number 2, UCF, number 3, Michigan, and number 4, North Florida would be the three other teams making their way to Auburn, making their way to Plainsman Park for the regional. They would be matched up with Morgantown in West Virginia, who has Coastal Carolina as the number 2 seed. They have Virginia Tech as the number 3 and Bucknell as the number 4. Could you imagine an Auburn and Coastal? I bet you there would be a bunch of people that would pick Coastal Carolina to win that series, to win that regional over West Virginia.
Oh, I think I'm one of them.
To where it could legitimately be an Auburn-Coastal Carolina super regional rematch inside Plainsman Park. Right now, number 1 seed is UCLA. The number 2 seed is Georgia Tech. Right now, the number 3 seed is Georgia. Number 4, Auburn. Number 5, North Carolina. Number 6 is Texas. Alabama, right now set as the number 7, and Texas A&M set as the number 8. And so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the 8 teams with national top 8 seeds being from the Southeastern Conference, that speaks volumes. But so do a lot of the number 2s. We mentioned Coastal Carolina and Morgantown, but I know that we saw a couple other ones that stand out for teams that are 2 seeds that go on the road that could make a little bit of noise.
Yeah, right now I'm looking at some teams. I think Tennessee going to Atlanta is interesting for sure. Arkansas going to Oregon as that last national seed. Just looking at this, and I mean, we said Coastal Carolina. Guess who's going to the Athens Regional? They're projected.
It's what I asked for. Please.
Please. Jacksonville State.
Jacksonville State.
It'd be the biggest.
Holy cow.
It'd be the biggest clash of styles you have ever seen.
Oh, it would be Alabama basketball playing
like Iowa football.
Yeah.
I guess Virginia basketball under Tony Bennett.
Sure, yeah. Old school Virginia basketball. Old school Kelvin Sampson, Houston basketball of, if you get to 55 points, you're going to win the basketball game.
Yeah.
Versus, that's wild. The small ball that would be played at that stadium versus the long balls, that would be so, so fun to look at. You also mentioned Miami, the 2 seed for UCLA.
Ooh.
Looking at Ole Miss as the number 2 seed going to Corvallis.
Hey, as long as what happens if maybe Oregon State moves up to 13, you have Oregon State or Coastal Carolina.
That would be wild. You mentioned a team like UC Santa Barbara possibly making some noise going to Chapel Hill right now. Again, looking at the D1 baseball week 14 projected field before we flip over and talk a little bit of football. Texas with Boston College, Texas State, and Oral Roberts. I mean, I guess relatively.
Also wanted to point out with the national seeds, Auburn has played 8 of them. Alabama, Florida A&M, Starkville, Texas, Florida State, Georgia Tech.
It's wild.
Yeah.
Just in the top 16.
Just in the top 16. That's not including having, like, looking at the Arkansas as the number two heading to the 16. If they move up that seed line one more, that would be another one.
Yeah, not talking about them. Not talking about Cincinnati, who's a two seed. Oklahoma, State. Who's a two seed. Jacksonville State, who's a two seed. Kentucky, who's a three seed. I mean, it goes to show why, golly, it's so impressive that Auburn is, A, doing what they're doing, and then against the schedule. The fact that you read out that Auburn has the number one ERA in all of college baseball with the toughest strength of schedule against the toughest teams in all of college baseball, and you mentioned it playing eight of the top 16 seeds in college baseball, that's unheard of.
Yeah, they play more teams than they don't, because, I mean, Auburn is obviously one of them. So it's you play eight, you don't play seven of them. So you're gonna know who's gonna be in that super regional pairing with, like, okay, we've played half these teams, we've played a lot of these teams, because a lot of those teams are gonna probably win the regional.
That's absolutely wild. But no, just wanted to get that out there to continue to show just golly how good Auburn baseball is playing right now, and then just the field around them and some excitement, man. I mean, postseason baseball is so fun. Omaha is so fun, but even just the regionals and the super regionals. The regionals may have more just true excitement because obviously there's more fan bases, and again, I was able to make pretty good buddies with a bunch of the NC State fans last year as they made their way up. We were on TV actually for
really?
Standing up on the War Eagle wall, but you know there's the walkway in Fair Territory in left center field, the little the little ramp. It was me, Jacob, and Jack that were standing there for the Coastal NC State game, I believe that's what it was, and a ball hit the railing. And it bounced back into the field of play, and it was just far enough to where we couldn't have tried to grab it because we thought it was going to skip off the very top of the wall. But bounced back into the field of play, and they ruled it a double. And the entire time, we were sitting there waving our finger, giving the home run signal, and it's caught on TV.
I'll have to go back and watch
NC
that.
State's Barstool tweeted us out and like thanked us for securing the home run for him. It was pretty cool. It was NC State and Stetson. That's who it was at the time.
Yes.
Not Coastal Carolina. Stetson, the Hatters.
Yes. There we go. By the way, with North Florida, you know their mascot? Putting you on the spot right here.
Oh, gosh. I know that I know it. I know it. Tell the fans who are listening that don't know it.
The North Florida Ospreys.
Ospreys.
Yes.
That's awesome. That's a fantastic
That's a good
mascot.
Well, at some point this summer, we just need to dive in just like top 10 mascots or just something. Like, get the most random pulls. Like, I will go, you know, this is probably not something I should admit in public, but I don't really care. I go on Sporkle sometimes, and I'll try and do like the FCS
sure.
like mascots and try and do those. I think I'm up to like 70 or 80%.
That's awesome.
Just guys being dudes.
Just guys being dudes. None better than the Scottsdale Community College.
I don't know Scottsdale Community College.
The Fighting Artichokes.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely incredible. Their mascot is a giant artichoke. But no, we digress from that. And we do move into a little bit of a college football discussion, because something you had found earlier this afternoon that you were excited to talk about, and man, it just brought up and sparked a whole lot of ideas in terms of, this is a quote that's coming from the next round, but talking about the Saturday afternoon, Saturday evening games for the SEC versus the Friday games, and how the Southeastern Conference remains as the only power conference to not play any football games on Fridays.
Yes, I, you know, as for much as that I'll make fun of Greg Sankey and Next Round and all them, I think he's right. Like, that is something that I know that the Big 12 is having an issue with this year, because they're playing like a premium game now on Friday nights. And I get Brent Yormark likes to do this kind of like, when everyone zigs, we zag.
Right.
But it hurts. Like, I know like Texas Tech, TCU, and Baylor all despise this idea because they need to be recruiting the state of Texas.
Right.
You know, I think it is law in certain states you cannot play a college football game on a Friday before or like during college football season.
Well, we had it to where last year Auburn and Baylor, our high school games got moved around it.
Yeah,
like Auburn High School moved their game to Thursday,
and
so that way
the Big 12.
That was because of, they were like, okay, no, we're moving that up because high school still needs to have its own spot. But I mean, it would be dominated by college football, and
yeah,
I love the fact that the South And Greg Sankey is one to speak up for what high school football means in Georgia and Alabama and Florida and Tennessee. I mean, you hear all about the talent of high school athletes. And, you know, there's the pockets in California. And obviously Texas is huge
Ohio's
as well.
A big state.
Ohio's a big one. But otherwise, and not putting a dampen on other high school teams and high school sports, because I understand that's still a very big part of everybody's life. But people don't understand SEC football until they come around the SEC. It's very, very comparable in high school athletics as well. Friday football and Friday night lights will and continues to need to be dominated. And Greg Sankey is a firm believer in that.
Right. And you know, it helps the communities like Enterprise or, Decatur, Alabama, or like looking at those towns where it's like the entire community shuts down to watch those type of games. Like, you know, it and that's just really important. Like, Auburn even does that for Auburn and Lee Scott.
But even that's kind of like the extreme of like what you're mentioning of, man, everybody lives for Friday nights.
I live for Friday nights. Yeah. I love high school football. You know, I worked with Auburn High School last semester with the AHS Mass Media. I was able to do stuff with covering just high school football. It is such a lifeblood of not only for the kids, but their parents, and then the recruiting, where it's like, if I'm Alex Golish and there's a guy I want at Auburn High School, maybe he's recruiting like a Kaysen Myers or Colin King or someone like that, that he's not having to, well, I just got to watch it on my phone tape,
right,
because I got to prep for a game. I watch it Saturday. It's, I can go, I can talk to him, I can talk to Keith Etheridge, I can talk to Buster Daniel, and I can make that connection, and that's going to help me recruiting. And unfortunately, if you want to play games on a Friday, respectfully, I love the ACC, you know, but you just don't get it.
No, you don't. And again, the idea...
You want ratings over regionality.
Right. And Greg Sankey made comments about that. He said his response was, for everybody, quotes, for everybody that thinks we just grab money, we could grab money just by putting games on different nights of the week. Basically saying, it doesn't matter when we play, we're still going to dominate the ratings, we're still going to dominate the national media, but respectfully, and to help out with our players, to help out with our coaches, and to help out with everybody in the South of where we all reside in the Southeastern Conference, high school football is still going to dominate Friday nights. And man, if you're telling me that high school athletics don't matter, go look at all the facilities being built. Go look at Gulf Shores, go look at Orange Beach,
right,
and what is being built there right now. I mean, look at Auburn. Look at what
Smith Station,
Lee Scott, is continuing to do with projects coming up here soon. And yeah, Smith Station and everybody. I mean, go to all the Atlanta schools in there as well. We can speak on a couple of those and what continues to be built. I mean, and not even speaking for what East Texas looks like on a Friday night, where I mean, everybody is just absolutely dominated and consumed by Friday nights. I mean, I am very much, and I am one to not just give the applause to Greg Sankey just because of the SEC patch, the SEC logo that he wears. But this is one that I speak on more so now than I did, obviously, when I was a high school athlete. But man, being a broadcaster and cover high school, I mean, this is a big, big part of my life, of your life, of our lives here on the show for everybody listening. I mean, high school athletics are awesome, and they are everything. And that's what the community resolves around and resides around. And don't get me started on the lack of community that Lee Scott has to go to every single road game and 4 hours away, because that ruins high school athletics. But I won't talk about that. That's a rant for another show that I've already, not another show, another day that I've already talked a whole lot about. But no, but high school athletics, man, needs to be dominated on Friday nights. And I love just everything that Greg Sankey is saying, and not needing too many words, just saying, hey, you could put us on any given night of the week. You could put us on Maction Tuesday, and we'd still dominate the ratings.
Love Maction, but that is the truth. And speaking,
it's only because it's on.
Yeah, speaking of the MAC and every other conference, kind of looking ahead to Saturdays, looking at the new oversight rules. I know we wanted to talk about that as well. With, you know, now that there's a proposal that has been adopted that gives conferences the flexibility to choose a 5-7 team that has met certain academic standards to fill in bowl game opportunities if there are not enough deserving teams.
Yeah, Heather Dinich released an article a couple of days ago talking about it. Yeah, adopting a proposal allowing conferences, you mentioned it, the flexibility to choose a 5-7 team. So this is not just, okay, if you're 5-7, you're automatically thrown into the conversation. It's almost like, okay, here's an at-large bid to a bowl game if you want it. However, this is for 5-7 teams that meet academic standards to fill the opportunities if there's not enough 6-6 teams, or if there's enough teams that opt out of their bowl game. And man, we take this of two different routes. Of one, how unfortunate is it that we've gone so far of where, man, when I grew up, and I know when you grew up, man, I was in school, and there'd be a noon game between Grambling State and whoever else it was, or Alabama State and Florida A&M at one of the HBCU kickoffs, or watching watching a Western Michigan take on a bad Oklahoma State team and watching a Hail Mary at the end of the game, or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Man, these are just parts of life that you feel like you're missing out on so much. And bowl season used to just be incredible. Your family'd come over and, sorry, Mom, I can't leave the couch. There's a game at 2:30 that I got to watch. Oh, okay, who is it? West Virginia and Army. I have no idea why I want to watch it, but it's on, and it means everything to these guys. And it's unfortunate on that route, just the fact of bowl season, saying it like it is. The college football playoff has ruined bowl season because of the slogan that I've talked about for so long of who's in. Because if you're not in, you're simply just out, and nothing else matters, to where, man, if you're not in the college football playoff bowl season, even the New Year's Six games that aren't technically New Year's Six games anymore, man, you're seeing the players opt out. And again, I understand that aspect of it, but just from the college football aspect, and maybe it is a little bit of the purist mentality that I have, but I'm still somebody that absolutely loves the idea of bowl season, and it's really unfortunate that it's going by the wayside. That being said, putting 5-7 teams in there is not the answer.
Yeah, and I'm gonna take a different, you know, I agree with everything you just said, first of all. Like, I literally have a buddy of mine. I might be getting some Gasparilla bowl slippers from a friend of a friend that plays at a Georgia Tech. That's not a joke. But I'm reading this article, and I just I noticed something. That the teams can, if it's an unaffiliated, so let's say the SEC, obviously, they have certain affiliated bowl games that they go to from the top of the playoff all the way down to the Birmingham and I think Gasparilla.
Sure, Bowls. Meaning to where this bowl hosts the third-ranked SEC team. Correct. And the second-ranked Big Ten team.
Correct.
Or whatever. Yeah, okay.
That if they're not filled all the way, the conference can choose who to send if they're 5-7. I'm going to put you in a scenario, and I guarantee this will happen. This is like just knowing how the universe and karma works. Auburn 5-7, another team 5-7. There's going to be one more bowl spot, and they're going to choose the other team, and Auburn fans are going to say that Birmingham is picking against them. You know what's going to happen. Like, you know,
Birmingham didn't want Auburn to win. Auburn wouldn't be in. Rather than that conversation, as we head to break, I will. I know that's not appropriate to say on air. I will be.
You will go bananas.
I will go absolutely haywire if Auburn continues to be in that discussion. You mentioned the joke of leaving hour number one of, it's fine when it happens to your team, but it better not happen to anybody else's. It better not freaking happen to our team anymore, because Auburn being 5-7 and having the possibility of being opted into a bowl game by the Southeastern Conference based off of academic eligibility and your academic GPA. Man, I'm sick and tired of having to deal with those types of conversations.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't even want to think about that. We can think about it on every other aspect, but Auburn's going to go 9-3, 10-2, so it's not going to matter, and fire somebody up on that side of things. We'll take our final break here, come back and wrap up the Tuesday, the free-for-all Tuesday, Friday, whatever it is, the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin, online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Come on. Wrapping up the show here on this Tuesday afternoon. Man, we appreciate everybody for being here with us. And Tripp's going to have this awesome fade out and then fade right into our outro music. And so
we got like 15 seconds, actually.
Oh, I thought it was like five. Okay, we have more time.
I thought it was.
We have more time than we thought. But we appreciate everybody for being here with us. We appreciate, again, Jacob for spending a little bit of time before hopping on the road to take on Enterprise at Troy University. Again, 96.3 W Lee is where you need to go this afternoon. Winner take all, game three. Auburn tries to win it and come back to SEMO Field to host Central Phoenix City. And so it should be a whole lot of fun. We also appreciate head coach of Auburn baseball, Butch Thompson, for joining us on the phone lines, being able to dive into a really fun series against Jacksonville State, an upcoming series against Georgia, and then just all things Auburn, kind of talking about the entire season as a whole. On tomorrow's show, what is tomorrow? Wednesday, we got Jordan Hill. We have Double D. We got Daryl D. Dapridge. Oh, gosh. I'll give you more updates on the Lee Scott side of things. I won't be here, but we will. Right here, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. For my good buddy Tripp and my good buddy.